Tavshinayim Ches. Let's take a look. First of all, if you look at the top of page one, so there are a couple sets of psukim. These are the beginning of the haftorahs of what we call it of Shmos, the Minig Ashkenaz and Minig Svarad. The Minig Ashkenaz is Habayim. You see it? Habayim Yashresh Yaakov, Yatzitzu Farach Yisrael, Umoluf Neisevil Tnuva. Habayim Yashresh Yaakov, the coming Yashresh is to put down roots. Yaakov Yatzitzu Farach Yisrael, right, to blossom forth, right? Umaluf Neisevil Tnuva, and they filled the earth with good produce. Immediately after that, it says, "Kemakas makeu hikahu." Will the one, right? Will he not be smitten? The one who smote, will he not be smitten in the same way he smote? In other words, you know, mida keneged mida. Just like the Mitzrim, as it were makeh Yisrael, will they not? And it's rhetorical. Will they not also be beaten in the same fashion? In kehereg harugav horag, right? Will they not? Those who killed, will they not also be killed now in the same fashion? B'sa'asa'a b'shalchat terivena agav rucho akasha b'yom kadim. B'sa'asa'a is mida keneged mida, like saw b'saw, a measure for measure. In other words, the idea being that what we have in front of us is from Mitzrayim, from Yetzias Mitzrayim, is a revelation of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, Mida Keneged Mida. But by and by, in the first part of there, Habayim Yashresh, Yashresh is one of those words which implies both a positive meaning and the opposite, the undoing of that positive meaning. Just like pakod, just like pakida, can mean to be noted as being there, pakida. So too, that was the terminology that Yosef told the Jewish people before he passed away. Pakod yifkod elokim lachem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will redeem you. So pakida can on the one hand mean to be noted as being there. Pakida can also be noted as not being there. It's davar v'hipucho. So too, yashresh can mean to put down, what do you call it? Okay, what's over there? Okay. David, do you need some tea?
I'll have a tea.
Yeah, do you want sugar?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you call it?
Okay, sugar.
Yeah. You don't want sugar, right?
But want cookies. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what do you call? Thank you so much. So what do you call? So the idea of no, I'm not saying. I'm just saying it's similar to it. It just happens to be that also with regard to Yetzias Mitzrayim, that word with a double meaning is also used in Vayechi. When Yosef told them they would be redeemed, he said Pakod Yifkod Elokim Eschem. So it's interesting that he used a code word, Pakida, which on the one hand can mean, you know, you'll be remembered and be noted as being there. It could also mean you'll be noted as not being there. In other words, it's the sort of spirits, the contradiction of the world of the Golas that they've gone into, the world of the Golas they've gone into, where things aren't the way they appear to be. So too, Yashresh can mean to plant. Yashresh can also mean to uproot, right? So the idea being that when you enter into the Golas now, you're entering into a world where even though really what's happening is something is being planted, but it might look like it's being uprooted. Just like the Jewish people, we know that really this is the beginning of the birth of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are born in Mitzrayim. Yet for all the suffering they're undergoing, doesn't look like anybody's being born there. It just looks like people are suffering and dying and really caught and going into lives of misery. So it's the paradox, right? The paradox of the Golas. On the one hand, the Golas we know is a place of birth of the Jewish people. On the other hand, the Golas is looks like a catastrophe to the Jewish people. That's what he called this is the beginning of the Haftorah according to Nusach Ashkenaz. That's the beginning of the Haftorah of Parsha Shmos. Habayim Yashresh Yaakov, because the Haftorah always encapsulates right the concepts of the Parsha.
We're
doing the Parsha, right?
Starting off
with the Haftorah. Yeah, just to bring as a prologue.
Okay.
as a prologue. On the other hand, the minhag of Nusach Sfard, Vedoch Mizrach, is they don't read the Haftorah from Yeshaya. They read the Haftorah from Yirmiyahu. And that's talking about Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyo, right? Min HaKohanim Asher Banasos B'Eretz Binyamin. It's talking about the emergence of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Right? The emergence of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Thank you very much. The emergence of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu emerges in the Parsha. Since there's several themes that are going on at the same time in the Parsha. There is the descent of the Jewish people into Golus. There is how to look at that descent into Golus. Then there's the emergence of Moshe Rabbeinu, the beginning of the process of the Geula, etc.
That is the summation in Haftorah.
Right, so what he calls it, it's just like, as we see, there's two minhagim in the Haftorah. Really, the two minhagim reflect two different themes that are going on in the Parsha. The emergence of the Navi. That's the Minhag Sfarad, that's what he called, that's Divrei Yirmiyahu. And then there is the what appears to be the destructive process that the Jewish people are enduring, which really is a process of giving birth to them of their...
The
right, the Golos, but you.
That's
Mashnaz, right, that's Aboim Yashresh Yaakov. So let's just take a look at a few points, right? We discussed, actually, the truth is we discussed some of these points last year, but I think we look at it maybe in a different context now. It says the first subtitle there says the potential, right? The potential. There's the potential of the Jewish people. So the first pasuk of the parsha says the Eilish Shmos Bnei Yisrael Aboyim Mitzrayim Eis Yaakov Ish Uveso Bo, right? And Rashi says the Eilish Shmos Bnei Yisrael Afal Pishemonon Bechayehem, even though he counted them and mentioned their names in parshas Vayechi when they were alive, right? What he called the Chumash goes, the Reboshim goes again and counts them by name, right, to show how beloved they are. Because they're compared to the stars. Shemotzion umachnison bimispar uveshmosam. Shenemar Hamotzi b'mitzpar tzvam l'chulam b'shem mikra.
That's how the parsha begins by reviewing the names.
Right, Eilish Shmos Bnei Yisrael goes and repeats the names all over again. We had it just now in Sefer Bereishis. I mean, we know who they are. We didn't think they changed the name to Frank, Harry, George, or Maxwell with Aloysius, right? We didn't think they changed it. Now we know it's Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. Elamai to show their chibasam and to show that they're nimshul kochavim. They are similar to the stars. Similar to the stars. Right? Shemotzion umachnisan bimispar uvishmosam. Right? They are brought out bimispar, in numbers, their numbers, and shmosam, with their names. In other words, l'chora, the idea being bimispar, right? Bimispar, right? Bimispar, in other words, you write the sum total of how many of them there are. It's not like we counted your number one, number two, number three, but you know the sum total of who they are. That lechori is a reference to the koach of the klal, right? The koach of the klal, that all of them blend together to accomplish, you know, a goal. The Jewish people as a whole. And the Jewish people as a whole come to accomplish a goal. On the other hand, when you refer to them by their names, that means each person has a unique quality to them. So they're just like the stars. The stars, as it were, in other words, you have, you know, stars, you know, that form a particular constellation, etc. So you need, there are a lot of stars that form that constellation. The constellation wouldn't look the way it does without all the stars there. But it's not as though they're anonymous, because each star itself has got its own name.
That's just the beginning of the
Parsha. Right, that's the Eilish
Shmos B'nei
Yisrael. Okay, stay calm. Yeah. Right? Right? So continue. What is it?
I'm going to put you on academic probation.
Okay. then at the same time, reflecting the two ideas that we saw before. Remember, we talked about the Minhag Ashkenaz and the Minhag Sfarad. The Minhag Ashkenaz is talking about the birth of the Jewish people in what appears to be this world of destruction, but really they're being born then. Sort of like, in general, birth. Painful, what you call blood, right? all of everybody called that accompanies birth, and yet the same at the end of the day, you've got a new child here, you've got a new neshama in the world. So that's on the one hand, that's the idea of the Jewish people being born. Now let's go see the other side of the coin. Like we said,
Smart.
Then Perek Beis plus the Beis. It says Vatar Ha'isha Vatelet Bain Vatelo Soki Tovu Vatitzpaneu Shloshah Yerachim. This is the birth of Moshe. Right.
Mustafar was the same region.
When they talked about the evolution, the development, I should say, of the Navi. Right there, the Haftorah is talking about what he called Yirmiyahu. Here in the Chumash, he's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So this pasuk is a reference to the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that.
But it's supposed to be what? The development of hope.
Well, I don't know if we're going to talk about hope just yet, but right now we're talking about the, you know, in other words, what we have is.
Ashkenaz was when you develop a Golis?
The development of the Jewish people in the Golis.
And what was Sephard again?
The Sephard is addressing the development of the Navi. The Navi who's going to redeem them. The Navi who's going to bring the Torah to them. The Navi who's going, as it were, who's going to bring them from one world into the next world. In other words, the Jews are in this midst of this cauldron of Golis. And this cauldron of Golis. On the one hand, it looks like they're being torn apart, they're being destroyed. Yashresh, right? It means to uproot. On the other hand, Yashresh means to set down roots. And in the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of all this cauldron, really, of what looks like on the surface destruction, is really the process of new birth. Then the other topic, the topic of the Navi, is who is going to lead them? What type of person is going to lead them from the one world into the new world? Who's going to take them down the birth canal, as it were? Yeah, from the world of contractions and transition and all that pain and what he called and pain and discomfort and what he called and it looks like you're going to die, God forbid, and all of a sudden birth. Who's going to take them? So that's Moshe. So on his birth, right, it says that his mother saw, that's Yocheved, saw ki tovu, vatitzvaneu shloshah yerachim. She saw he was tov. Every mother thinks the kid is tov, right? Right? I mean, what he called, and she hid him for 3 days. 3 months. Says it's for her more. He says, luzeh samach miyad, vayilech ish, vegomer, vatari shava teled ben, haramuz lamalu. What does it mean that she saw he was tov? Right? When he was born, the house filled with light. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the one who's going to bring light to the world. He is going to be the one to bring Hashem's word to the world. He's going to bring the Torah to the world. As it says, yeah, ki or Torah dechsiv the Torah or. Yeah, it says ki near mitzvah the Torah or. The Torah is compared to light. So when he was born, light, there was light in the house. She saw it was an omen that this is a person who can bring light to the world, which is going to be the Torah. Uchsiv marav tuvcha asher tzafan t'lirayecha. Right? What is the great good that you've hidden for your those who fear you? Vizavat hitzvaneu. Right? She hid him. Right? And there's the tov. Before it comes into the world, right? The or is always called tov. Vayar Elokim is an or ki tov. Of all the creations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in Ma'aseh Bereishis, the one that he specifically says is tov, right? Vayar Elokim, you don't find that term anywhere. You find that Hashem says ki tov at the end of every day. The Nesiv points this out in Bereishis. We talked about that last year also. He does refer to every day being tov. But he never refers to a specific creation as this is tov. Yar lakim is or ki tov. The or is tov. Why? Because or allows illumination, allows you to be able to see things for what they are, not to be confused, not to be befuddled, not to be in the darkness, etc. So or is always good. To see the emes is always good. Yeah, but when you go for that or sometimes needs to be hidden. Right, like it says, ki marav tuvcha, the tov, right, which is the connection, the clarity that we'll have in our connection with Hashem, Safant and L'Riecha, before it actually, before the time comes for it to be revealed, it's hidden. So she hid him, she hid him for 3 months. Says the Torah, more fascinating thing.
Yeah, 3 months, because the Egyptians were looking for
him. Right, I understand. Right, but the symbolism in her hiding him for 3 months yeah. is also in Ibn Khaldun this idea that the or is sometimes hidden in the beginning. Well, fi shehu remiza ala Torah, she nikreis tov, a fascinating thing. He's hidden for 3 months, right? And when the Jewish people leave Egypt, right? They don't receive the Torah for 3 months, right? Nisan, Iyar, in the third month, in Sivan, that's when they finally receive the Torah.
But you're hidden because light is good to be hidden for 3 months?
In other words, initially it's hidden. In other words, the light, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing that in creation we start off with tohu vavo, chaos. Right? Breishis bara lakim et hashamayim v'aretz. V'aretz ha'itza tohu vavo v'choshech b'nei tohom v'ruach lakim rachetz l'fnei amayim. V'yom lakim ki or, yi or, v'yi or. We start off with chaos and then light. Right? And then afterwards that light is actually hidden. Right, in the case of what we call it, of the Jewish people as well, they enter into Golis, right, and now is the time for the emergence of the light. So when Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene, symbolically says it's Torah Mor, he's hidden for 3 months, just as the Jewish people, when they were delivered from Mitzrayim and Chodesh Nisan, the or doesn't come to fruition, doesn't shine until the third month, until Sivan. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the one.
How does that work out? So the Jews were freed in Nisan,
and they received the Torah in Sivan. That's the third month.
I think that's symbolic of Moshe
Rabbeinu. Would I say it? No, but the Shruah Mor is a very holy man. He's a very holy man, right? And he lived a long time ago. So I'm just saying over what he says, right? He's really called. He knows what he saith. Okay. Further. Sasemis says. The Medrash brings down Rashi that the Jewish people compared to stars. But Lamadafka Kuchavim. Why we compare to stars? Why the Jewish people compared to stars? He says the Isa Shekitriga Levana Venismata. We know that the. With the creation of the sun and the moon, right? The moon complained. The moon said, "What two kings can't, as it were, function with the same crown? Like, well, you can't have two kings function with the same crown." So, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to the moon, "Go and lessen yourself. Go and lessen yourself. Right? Go and lessen yourself." But in order to appease the moon, at the same time, he gave her an entourage. The entourage of the moon are the stars. Right? There's the idea being the idea of the moon. The moon is, right, Hashem's Shekhinah. It represents the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is the way that Hashem's presence is reflected here in this world. Right? In other words, we don't see Hashem in his essence, as he totally transcendent. Of everything, but rather the way his presence is reflected here in the world, that's his Shekhinah. And the moon is comparable to that. That's why the moon waxes and wanes, just like Hashem's presence in the world waxes and wanes, depending on how good or bad, God forbid, we happen to be. So the moon, right, it has to be less spectacular than the sun, because it's reflective. In other words, at this point, right, at this point you see a wide gap between, right, between Hashem's presence in the world. Hashem's presence in the world, the way it appears to us, the way we see it, and we know what is the essence that we know that Hashem is. Hashem is all perfect, Hashem is all good, Hashem is all, and you know, in the world there's so many things that are confusing. His presence in the world is less clear. So Hashem, recall it, says to Levana, you're going to be less, but you know what, I'm going to give you an entourage. your entourage that will help you will be the stars. Svasemes, that's why the Jewish people are compared to stars. Because we help, as it were, in revealing, right, Hashem's presence in the world, just as the moon's very essence, that it's a reflected light, it waxes and wanes, represents the concept of the Shekhinah, the Jewish people, as the stars, as the entourage, right, of the moon. Each one of us is like a star. Each person with our peklach, with our baggage, with our strengths, with our weaknesses, we reflect Hashem's presence in the world. So that's what Sasemis says. What? Further.
Which one?
I repeated something twice by mistake. Fine. Okay. So, fine. So that's our potential. We've got two potentials developing over here. We've got, on the one hand, the light of Moshe, right? Recall, right? And we got, and then we've got on the other hand, the Jewish people are compared to stars. They are going to reveal Hashem's presence in the darkness of the Golas. They are the entourage of the moon. We're compared to stars, right? Okay. Next, now in the world of pain, it says Vayhi bayomim harabim ha'hem. It says, "Vayhi bayomim harabim ahem, vayomas melech Mitzrayim, v'yanchu bnei Yisrael min avoda, v'yizaku v'tal shavasam elokim min ha'avoda." It says, "Vayhi bayomim harabim ahem." What's happening? These yomim harabim, right? These yomim harabim. It's an interesting thing, because what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think about it, right? You think about it. And this is really the nature of the Golas and the Gula. It's that, but it's also, the Medrash says, I don't have it here, the Medrash says, Dome dodi l'tzvi. My beloved, i.e. the Rabbon Shalom, is like a tzvi, he's like a deer. You see him, you know, off in the distance, always think, oh, yeah, look, there's a deer. There's a deer. Yeah? There's a deer. And next thing you know, because the deer is very fleet of foot, obviously you don't see the deer anymore. Oh, he's behind a tree, right? And then he's gone. Oh, he's behind the bush. Where is he? 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 And all of a sudden, bang, he's standing right next to you. That's the nature. Domed dodilat svi. That's the nature of the geula from the golus. It looks like it's coming closer, things are happening, and then all of a sudden, it disappears. Comes, looks like it's happening again, disappears. You think about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's born light in the world. Next thing you know, he grows up in the house of Paro, right? Bacha, Bicha, picks him out of the, what do you call it, out of the Nile, brings him home. He's growing up in the house of Paro. Perhaps when he's 12 years old, or maybe when he's 20 at the most, Ramban discusses it, yeah? He goes out to see his brethren. And the day that he goes out to see his brethren, he sees the Mitzri beating, what do you call it, the Jew. He kills the Mitzri. The next day he realizes that he's been informed upon by Dasam Aviram to the authorities, right? He has to flee. He's maybe 20, right? And according to Chazal, he's 12 at this point. Okay?
Why is there such a big difference?
Again, 20 is just really cool. I don't think he has a proof to 20. It's just really cool. It's just based upon, right? I mean, for Zal, his mashma is 12. He's developed very quickly. His sense of compassion for his brothers develops very quickly. He goes out there, he acts immediately. Look, this is it. This looks like the guy's going to save the Jews. He runs away. He's gone for at least 60 years. He doesn't come back to the house of Paul until he's 80.
Well, that's the nature of course. He's born,
he's... Right, and then he disappears, right? For at least 60 years. That's if he's 20. If he's really caught, if it's 12, he's 68 years. 68 years. Towards the end, says the Ramban, of this fleeing from Paro, he winds up in Midian, And there he meets Yisro, and he meets what he called, he gets married to Zipporah, and he has his first child. But all this time, everything is dormant. So it says, what he called, says the Chumash, Vahi Vayomim Harabim Mahim. Those many days, yeah, when it looks like nothing's happening in a positive sense. Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim. The king of Egypt dies. Rashi says, the pshat is, he became a Metzora. Right? And because he became a Metzora, he wanted to be healed from his Tzaras. The Medrash Taman says, yeah, that he asked his three advisors, what should you do to get rid of the Tzaras? So Eov was silent. Yisro ran away.
That was Paro.
Right. Yitro ran away.
How does that have to do
with Moshe becoming Dorman? No, Moshe, what do you call? You don't hear anything from Moshe all this time.
So Moshe didn't have Tzaras.
No, Paro had Tzaras. Paro Tzaras, right? Mm-hmm. Paro got Tzaras.
Moshe did all the words.
Right. So Paro, in the midst of this story, what he called got Tzaras. He had three advisors, right? Yitro wouldn't answer. He fled. Eel was silent, and Bilam told him, you have to shecht 150 Jewish children in the morning and 150 Jewish children in the evening and bathe in their blood. You can imagine. So that's where Rashi explains it, right? Vayomas melech Mitzrayim ve'ye'anchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. They groaned. They groaned out of the work. Vayizaku, and they cried out. Vata'al shav'osam elokim, and they're beseeching, I don't know, Shava. How would you translate it?
Okay, yeah. Beseeching is okay.
Their beseeching rose up before the Bon Shalom min avoda, from out of the, what do you call it, out of the suffering. Out of their work. So the Chizkuni says, right, Rashi said he became a Metzora. He became a Metzora. And that caused an increase of suffering. Shechting 150 kids every morning, 150 kids every evening. Okay, people do very strange things. Pretty strange things. See, what I don't want to talk about. Whatever. What? No. Okay. Vayamas hush. The Chizkuni says, let me say, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, Kodam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vahemis Melech Mitzrayim, Va'akakach Vayomar Hashem El Moshe B'midian Lech Shu Mitzrayim Ki Meisu Kol Anashim V'vakshim Es Nafshecha Pen Yomar Moshe Eichel Eich V'shama Paro V'hargeni etc. So Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, look at this, it's such an interesting thing. The Chizkuni points out, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt dies. So for Moshe on a personal level, that's a plus, because that's the king who wanted to kill him. He's not learning that he became a Metzora. He's learning he pagered, he died. So for Moshe, that's a plus. The king that's searching for him is now dead. Okay, that's good. But for the Jewish people, that's a catastrophe. Why? Right? So the Rashi explains, the Chizkuni explains what he calls, he explains as follows. For Moshe Rabbeinu, this is a good besor, this is good news. Melech died. That means what he called, he's not searching for him anymore. Right, Melech Mitzrayim died. Paro died. Yeah, but for the Jewish people, it says one day, what's their reaction to it? They're groaning from the avoda. Why? So he says, first of all, he says, what's their status right now? They knew they were going to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, right? Because that's they knew from that was their Kabbalah from the Bris Ben Amsarim, right? So they're going to be in Golos for 400 years. The only problem is they started counting the Golos from the time of Bris Ben Amsarim, from the time that it was done, Bris Ben Amsarim. And that time has passed already. And so what's happening? Nothing's happening. And really, they didn't realize that really the time of counting Bris Ben Amsarim is only from the birth of Yitzchak. So they're disappointed.
How did that work out?
We see they weren't right though. Right? Let's not get lost in the roundabouts. We see that what he calls it, that Hashem was making the chesed on time and birth of Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak was born what he called, whatever, yeah.
Okay.
Right? That's where it begins. So that's where it begins. So they thought it was going to start from the time of the Brit Mila. Really, it started only with the birth of Yitzchak. I mean, that, when you think about it, really, it makes sense. It starts with the birth of Yitzchak. It says, Ger Yezar Achad, your descendants, Hashem is saying to Avram, your descendants will be, what he called, not 100% in their land, you know, with their own hegemony in their land. That only begins with Yitzchak. You don't have any Zer until Yitzchak. But actually, yeah. So on the one hand, they're disappointed, right? This is never going to end. Not only that.
How many years were they off? 70 years?
So it depends when Brit Mila took place. So it's not, you know, that depends. We discussed that when we were doing that. Pretty cool. Was it 70 years earlier? Or was it when he was 70 as opposed to, well, you know, close to 100? Or, it's not clear.
We discussed it here?
Yeah, long time ago. When we were doing Bridges. So that on the one hand, we're disappointed from that. On the other hand, they're disappointed because they figure the Melech dies, so the minhag, the custom is the Melech dies, so on the day he dies, there's clemency. You know, they give pardons, they rescind all these decrees, and they start all over again. But here, it didn't get any better.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, there are two ways to look at the Jewish people's discomfort right now. According to Rashi, the Gzeiras got worse. According to the Chizkuni, it's not the Gzeiras got worse, but they're losing hope. Right? Instead of things getting better, they didn't get any better. Or, what do you call it, they thought the time was up already, and it wasn't up. So they're losing hope. Right? That's what he called. That's vayeonchu bnei Yisrael min avoda. Vayizaku. They call out. They scream out. Vatal shavosam el elokim min avoda. So all of that is recorded. Tal shavosam elokim min avoda. Right? Says it's Sforno. What does it mean? Vatal shavosam. Their beseeching went up to elokim min avoda. Says it's Sforno. Lo bishul tshuvasam utfilasam. Not through their tshuva or their tefillah. I will kimekane alach zorios ha-ma'avidim ka'amru v'gamar isi et ha-lachatz. In other words, one of the components here, in other words, we've entered into this world of darkness. The Jewish people are suffering terribly. What are the components that are going to cause now the switch of direction that's going to bring about the beginning of the Gula as opposed to a continuation of the Gullus? The first thing is, says the Sforno, is the incredible evil that's being perpetrated on them. Right? The Achzorius, the cruelty. So that's why Yizaku min Avoda, the suffering, they're crying out of their pain, out of their misery, out of their suffering. That's the first key, right? It's the cruelty of the perpetrators. That's what Sforno says. In other words, we have over here, right? If you look at the Pesukim, Chaf Gimel and Chaf Dalet. Chaf Gimel is over here, Chaf Dalet is over here. In Chaf Gimel it says, Vayiva Yami Marabi Mahim, Vayamas Menach Mitzrayim, Vayan Chubani Soman Avoda. In those many days, those long days, right? The days that Moshe Rabbeinu has been gone, he's been 60 years, whatever it is, yeah? Or just because it seems like many days, because when you're suffering, it's not like, you know, the time goes by so slowly. When your happy time is going by, slickety split. And when you're suffering, it just drays and drays and drays on, right? Right? You can appreciate that. Okay, fine. This Vahiva Yamiha Rabbi Mahim, yeah? In those many days, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim. So either he died and they were disappointed that his decrees weren't rescinded, like the Chizkuni says, or it didn't really mean he died, he became a Mitzorah, and now their new decree is slaughtering 300 Jewish children a day, right? Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael Min Avoda. And they're groaning out of their suffering, right? Vayizaku, and they scream out. They can't take the pain anymore. Give out. Yeah. Vayizaku, they cry out. Vatal shavasam, and they're beseeching. They're recording. Help us, save us. We can't record. But it's not like they're really recording. They're not. It's all that emanated from. Min avoda, just the suffering. It's like you scream out in pain when you're suffering. So this is the first nakuda which causes the change, right, in the way that Hashem is dealing with them, is that they're being brutalized, and the cruelty of those who brutalize them is recorded unspeakable. So now, because those people who are brutalizing them are getting so bad, now Hashem shifts gears. It's time to institute a new path, a new derech for them. Right? Because you now get to start to punish, to bring about punishment for those who are the perpetrators. So that's the first nekuda. Then the next pasuk says, next to the bottom line on page one, it says, Vayishma Elokim es nakasam. He hears their like hollow, you know, groans from the inside.
Who heard?
Hashem. Vayishma Elokim es nakasam. Vayizkor Elokim es briso es Avraham es Yitzchak es Yaakov. Right? And that causes the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm now going to revitalize, or as it were, I'm going to actively connect to the bris that I have with the Avos. And until now, right, they've descended into the world of Tumah of Mitzrayim, right? But now they're suffering, and the suffering is getting so great that now the perpetrators deserve to be punished. So based upon the perpetrators deserve to be punished, so now what? So now they require, and their screaming is rising upward from their pain. So now that now it says also Vayishma Elokim et Na'akosam. Their Hashem hears also. Note there's two things here. Before it said, but the previous pasuk says Vayizaku Atal Shavasazam Elokim Mina Avoda. That's a screaming just out of pain. And now it says Vayishma Elokim et Na'akosam. Now it doesn't say done from the Avoda. The Naka, they would call it the sense of abandonment, the sense of emptiness, the sense of what do you call it? We feel abandoned, what do you call it? But that's not out of the pain, out of pain of the work, that's out of tefillah, says the Sforno. The Sforno says, Vayishma Elokim es Na'akosam, tefillas k'tzosam. Not all of them were like that. Some of them were just screaming out of pain. But there were tzaddikim in their midst. There were tzaddikim in the midst. But tefillas k'tzosam shispalu, us, matzike hador. There were those who davened. Not just they were tzaddikim in their own right, they were matzike hador. They were saying, have rachmanis on your children. There were Jews amongst them who weren't just screaming out of the pain of their suffering, but they're turning towards the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in tefillah. Have rachmanis on your children. They were matzike hador. Ke amru vanitzak el Hashem vayishma kolenu. So we've got the incredible evil that's being perpetrated upon them. There's the bad, the evildoers are getting so bad, it's time to, what do you call, to punish. Then we've got those Jews are actually calling out to Hashem in tefillah. Right? And Hashem says, Vayizkor Elokim es briso. Sha'amar vekimos is... Everything alright? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Mr. Feather says you need a new igniter. You alright?
Just keep the oven door closed and be okay.
Okay.
You're actually another time.
Vakimosi es brisi. Vakimosi es brisi beinu beinecha. ובין זרחה קורחה ליוס לכל אלוקים לזרחה קורחה וזה יעשה בכל קוראינו אליו. So in other words, the tefillah now, right, the record, what's causing the shift
people's
position. Yeah, right. What's called the shift in the status quo?
In their existential relationship.
Okay.
With the world around them.
Right. What's causing the shift in the status quo? The status quo is right now they're suffering. They're suffering. But so on the one hand, they're screaming out in pain shows how wretched the perpetrators are. So that causes one side that they deserve to be punished. On the other hand, the matzdiki adore those who are themselves are righteous, and they not only that, they're not just davening for themselves, but davening for all the Jewish people that time. Rahman, have rachmanis. So now we've now started to bring to the fore the bris.
More hope.
The bris. The bris that Hashem made with what he called with Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Right, the agony of people showing the evil of the perpetrators. So those two things now combine, and then it says, "Vayar Elokim es Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim." Right. So Rashi says, Vayara Elokim es bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim, Vayeda Elokim, Nastan aleim leiv, Vloheelim einav. Right? So let's stick with Rashi here. Vayara, we call it, he says, Vayara Elokim es bnei Yisrael, he now looks at bnei Yisrael, but Rashi says, Vayeda Elokim, Vloheelim einav. That means he doesn't avert his eyes. It means Hashem is always looking at us. Hashem is always looking at us. He's always looking at us. But when we're in Golus, when we're in a time of Onesh, we're in a time of suffering, so then he consciously turns his eyes away from us. He doesn't want to be attached to us, because now is not the time to be attached to us. But now, Vayar Lakim, Vayeda Lakim says, Rashi, Lo Halim Einav. And he always sees. The question is, does he turn his eyes away? Right? Does he turn his Hashkach away from us? But now he's no longer going to turn his Hashkach away from us. Now the wheels are now turning of the Geula. Okay? Fine. So that's the scenario. At this point, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out into the desert, and he has the vision of the, what do you call it, of the burning bush. The burning bush.
Is that a
vision
or a reality?
What? You guys experienced it. It was real. Of course it was real. Yeah. Oh, again, it did it.
Okay, just leave the kitchen alone. Leave the other stove hot.
And then we call it at the burning bush. What does it say over there? So the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, "Ani yishena v'libi air." I am asleep, but my heart is still awake. And my limbs appear to be asleep, but my heart is awake. Kol dodi dofek. I hear the knocking of my beloved at the door. And what is he saying? This is the beloved is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam.
My heart is asleep.
My heart is awake. My limbs are asleep. I'm sleeping, but my heart is still awake. Ani yishena v'libi air. Kol dodi dofek. I hear the knocking of my beloved at the door. Piskili achosi rayotzi. Open for me. Right? My sister, my beloved. Yonasi, my dove. Tamasi, my twin, as it were, or my perfect one. Right? Shiroshinim latal. I'm drenched with dew. Kutsosai, resise laila. I'm drenched with dew and what do you call rain. Let me in. Says the Medrash on this. It's a Medrash here in Shmos. It says, Vayira Malach Hashem, a love, right? It says, the Pasek, says the Medrash, that is that it says, Ani Yishena V'libi Air. Says the Medrash, Ani Yishena Min HaMitzvos, V'libi Air La'asosam. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is revealing to what he called to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Jewish people, even though right now they're a very low madrega, they're a Memtesh Shari Tumah, they're a 49th level of Tumah, so their limbs, as it were, are asleep, but the heart is what he called their potential. He's revealing to them. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what's going on right now. We've seen the Jewish people. They're suffering, and we've seen they're calling out in pain. We've seen the tzaddikim praying to Rabbeinu Shalom. We've seen Moshe Rabbeinu being born, etc. And now, in this vision, he explains to them what's going on underneath the surface. The Jewish people's hearts. Record, they are, even though they look like they're so downtrodden, they're beaten, their limbs are asleep, etc., but the heart is ready to do mitzvos. The time is ripe. V'libi er la'asosam. Tamasi v'sinai. The fact that Sher Kodesh refers to what he called, to Jewish people, as tamasi. Tamasi, that Ray called tmimus. You know, perfect simplicity, right? Being what called totally, as it were, you know, honest. You know, upfront, calm, perfect. He says their perfection is already there in potential. When they're going to get to Sinai, they're going to say Na'aseh v'nishma. They'll accept my direction. They'll accept my dominion. They'll accept my mitzvot, etc. They're ready for it. He refers to them as tamasi tmimus. That's the first shot. Tamasi. He refers to them as tamasi. Right? Tmimus.
Tamasi is what?
Tmimus. Perfect. What do you call it? Accepting. Yeah. Upright, straight, right? Like Yaakov was ish tam, no shtick, no faking, record. They'll accept it. I know the potential is already there.
So Hashem is telling Moshe, don't worry, like, really,
right, what he's telling, this is, these are the Jews, you know, the record. He's describing, and he's describing all the components. The Jewish people are Tamasi. Amar Rav Yanai, Rav Yanai says another shot. Tamasi, Meloshin Ta'omasi. They're my twin. Just as they suffer, I suffer with them. And these are all the components. This is the potential of the Jewish people. And don't think that I've abandoned them, because when they suffer, I suffer. Ta'omasi, this means like my twin. Right? So that's the way, well, that's the way the Medrash explains the experience of the burning bush. So there's the burning bush. On the one hand, there is the light coming out of the burning bush. That means, even though, what do you call it, the bush looks like it's burning. And what do you call it, that appears to be something which is negative, but there's light there. There's light, there's a fire in the inside. There's a fire on the inside, and then they, in their potential, on the inside, the Jewish people, as it were, are ready, they're ripe to come out. On the other hand, the bush is burning. It appears to be called to be undergoing a difficult time. That's the other idea, that Hashem says that even in the midst of their tzaras, I haven't abandoned them. So the two different lessons being communicated by the burning bush, according to what the Medrash describes it.
As potential and not.
And with them, even in the midst of their suffering. Okay, and the Sforno says, and let's just encapsulate this, let's just synopsize, I'm sorry, the Sforno says an unbelievable thing. He says, you know what the symbolism of the burning bush is? He says, right, he says that the voice of the angel, the Malach, coming from inside of the, what he called, of the bush, is representative of the Jewish people. They are the malachim, right? They are the shlichim, they are the emissaries of Hashem in the world. They're in the sneh, a bush of brambles and briars.
I thought inside the bush Hashem was talking.
I understand, but what do you call it? The Sforno is saying that the Hashem is talking to him, but the fact that he did it through a malach that's inside, why talk about this a malach? When you say your voice from the, what do you call it? I need to know all the ins and outs of, you know, of his nevuah. The Sforno says the reason he's got the malach there is because the Jewish people are meant to be the malach. We're meant to be the mouthpiece of Hashem, Koviyachol. That's what we saw originally, that the Jewish people are meant to be we're like the stars, what he called, revealing Hashem's light, and part of the entourage of the moon and the Shekhinah in the world. So the malach is representative of the Jewish people. They're in, right, called, they're in the bush, which is filled with thorns. That means they're in Mitzrayim, which is tormenting them. There's a fire burning, right? The bush, which is which represents the Mitzrayim, the briars, the brambles, the torment of the Mitzrayim, is on fire. And the miracle is, says the Sforno, is that the bush, which represents the Mitzrayim, is not destroyed. The Mitzrayim are not destroyed. Why, says the Sforno? Because the goal is not just to get them out of their pain, right, and to destroy the Mitzrayim and to leave them here in Egypt. The goal is to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael,
the Mitzrayim?
No, the Jews.
Wait, the bush represents the Mitzrayim.
The Malach inside represents the Jewish people, who are meant to be the emissary of Hashem in the world, and they are being surrounded by this bush of briars and brambles.
Right.
The bush is on fire, right? And yet the bush doesn't disintegrate. It's not destroyed. It's not burnt up. Says the Sforno, what does it mean? It means the Mitzrayim are not destroyed. They're punished, but they're not destroyed. Yes. Why? Why are they not destroyed? Because the goal is not just to remove your pain. The goal is to transform you into a whole new people who's going to go to Eretz Israel and live a different type of life than the rest of the world.
How does that have to do with destroying the Mitzrayim?
That's the Chiddush. That's the unbelievable Chiddush.
We have to destroy them, don't go in.
No, because the point is not what he called, we should nuke the Mitzrayim and leave the Jews in Egypt. Right?
Leave the Mitzrayim. If he didn't destroy the Mitzrayim, there was impetus for them to leave.
Right, but no, he's saying the idea is the goal is that they not be destroyed, just that they send them away. But not that that the Mitzrayim be destroyed, we remain in their land. Because that's not the land for us. It's a different world. They're meant to go to Eretz Yisrael where they'll reach their true spiritual potential. So that's an additional Kiddush, according to Sfarno, of the entire process. So Hashem has revealed to Moshe over here, according to the Medrash and according to Sfarno, according to the Medrash, right? It's revealed on the one hand that the Jewish people are ripe for Geula, their hearts, right? Their hearts are ripe to what do you call it, to show their belief and their faith in Hashem, Nasa and Ishma. Their what do you call it, the Medrash tells us that even in the midst of our suffering, Hashem is with us, right? And the Sfarno comes and is mechadish to us and realize that even the punishment that's going to be visited upon the Mitzrayim is not for the sake of destroying the Mitzrayim and leaving the Jews here. The goal is, yeah, to take us to something better. To take us to Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we always will have a dynamic relationship with Hashem. Because if you destroy the Mitzrayim...
Well, for us to go into Eretz Yisrael, it should have been after the goals got out... So stay there.
Egypt was an unbelievable land.
But we already had prophecy. We should go in there.
Yeah, I understand. But he called. But you know,
to go in there,
yeah, they tell a story. They tell a story. I think about the Chernobyl Magid, right? That he was telling about how one day Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to, you know, he's telling, you know, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to, you know, punish all the Cossacks for all the things that they've done to the Jews, etc. And what do you call it? And the Jews will then go to Eretz Yisrael. So one of the simple man, he heard this, and he comes home and tells his wife, right? He comes and tells his wife, he heard the whole thing the Rebbe said, and what do you call it? His wife says, "Oh, well, I understand. So, well, but why can't we stay here? Why can't we stay here? Really cool. Why can't you just make it better here?" So he goes back to the Rebbe. He says, "My wife wants to know why can't just Hashem make it better for us here? Why do we have to leave here?" He says, "Because the Cossacks, right? What do you mean? We can't just stay here." He goes back and tells his wife. The Rebbe says he can't stay here because the Cossacks are here. The Germans can take us to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to take the Cossacks. So she sends her husband back. She says, "Tell the Rebbe, why not just leave us here and send the Cossacks to Eretz Yisrael? And that way we can stay here. I like it where, you know, here he says that they cause us trouble, so send them to Eretz Yisrael." That's when the Sfarno is coming to Borvorn, as it were. The Sfarno is saying, yeah, to prevent that type of thinking. The goal is not just to punish the Mitzrayim and leave the Jews in Mitzrayim. The goal is that the Jewish people need to be born out of here and taken someplace where their life is going to be a different type of life.
And therefore the Mitzrayim had to be not destroyed.
Right, totally destroyed, because that's not the point. The point is to destroy them and leave them there in Mitzrayim, what do you call it? And then all the Jews then will go to the local spas, right, and what do you call it, all the nice theaters and all the whatever it is. It's, that's not what you're not meant for. You're meant to go, if you look at the Sfarno, right, he says
we had to leave that environment.
Right, had to leave that environment. If you look at the way the Sfarno explains Moshe contrast in Sefer Dvarim, the contrast between Mitzrayim and Egypt, Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, he says, in Egypt, everything is easy. Life is easy. The Nile overflows its banks, and everything is fertilized, and everything is fine. You don't have to turn your eyes towards heaven. In Eretz Yisrael, you need rain. If you're functioning properly in your relationship with Hashem, the rain comes, and then you have as much as you need. But if you don't, then there's no rain, and then you suffer. That's the way Moshe Rabbeinu advertises Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Mitzrayim. You ask somebody out on the street and you say, "Hey, is that a good advertising?" "Well, hey, man, you'll never sell anything like that." Right? "What do you mean? You want the easy life?" "No, we don't want the easy life. We want the real life." That's the way he describes it in Sefer Dvarim. So that's pretty cool. That's the also part of the lesson of the bush.
Okay.